I know what you're up to. Yeah, you want to be the king, huh?
What about honor and fairness and shit?
Your darkness swallowed up my son? Who decided that?
Are you gay?
What? No, I sell propane.
Going on, everyone. You've waited until the perfect moment. Your parents have just left. You're going to a long, romantic candlelit dinner where your dad's going to strike out for the fourth time. So you've poured all that dusty anime box, you popped it in, and you've realized it's kind of a repeat because you think you almost watched it 2 weeks ago, but you couldn't quite finish it. So now you're here to listen to the Saiyan Saga for Dragon Ball Z. As always, I'm one of your hosts, the Bushido Geek, joined by Josh, or I'm just saying. Justin's not here, so moving on. We're joined again by the repeat DBZ month, Sai.
Hey!
Whose power level has now surpassed Justin's.
I'm starting to think Sai might like Dragon Ball Z.
Me too. I'm starting to think. I like it.
So if this is your first time here, we're going to be reviewing the Saiyan Saga arc of Dragon Ball Z and doing some cool ratings, and then we'll do some fun stuff at the end. But
So this is interesting. The first time we've ever reviewed just an arc. Typically, we review the whole anime, even if it's 10,000 episodes, and we only watch seven.
We finish it, but this is like the first arc we've... It's also like, normally we finish the whole anime, or at least a majority of it, but this is the first time where we just stuck to finishing an arc and left it at that. Which, you know, it's a good way to go about it, especially with how long Dragon Ball Z is. You know, it's a good way to see if you can get hooked. And it had been so long for me since I had watched the Saiyan Saga that, like, after Raditz, in between Raditz and Vegeta, I had remembered nothing other than, like, the King Kai stuff. But I had almost remembered none of it. So it was, like, it had probably been about 15 years since I had watched the complete Saiyan Saga.
Well, let's start at the beginning, then, about the Saiyan Saga. So the Saiyan Saga is the first saga of Dragon Ball Z, which is the sequel to Dragon Ball. And shockingly enough, this is not how you find out Goku has a son. Horrible movie ruined it for everyone.
Which movie was that?
Which movie was that?
Dead Zone.
I blocked that one from my memory.
So Dead Zone was interesting because it's not canon, but it's kind of canon because the villain from it comes back. But that's not what we're talking about.
Dragon Ball Z, the movies are weird. But so beginning, right away you get Raditz.
Of course.
Like, right away. Raditz is still one of my, like, OG favorite.
What is Double Sunday?
It's such a great move. I remember in Budokan 2 for the PlayStation 2, it was a way overpowered move for Raditz. Like, you could do Double Sunday, and it was like it would take away half the opponent's health in the game. It was so... I don't know why they made it overpowered, but it was great.
I like that all his moves were based on days of the week, because they knew... Because there's no one knows shit about Raditz. So they're like, he probably had at least 7 moves. One for every day of the week, right? That's what we're gonna do.
I think it shows, like, because it's they make it pretty clear that, like, as weak as Raditz is compared to, you know, Nappa and Vegeta, that he realistically should have destroyed Goku and Piccolo without breaking a sweat. Like, when they start going over all the power levels and stuff.
Right, but what happens instead?
He gets overconfident and Piccolo manages to just grab him, or Goku grabs him, and then Piccolo just one-armed beam cannons them to
death. Special beam cannon.
Kills Goku, too.
There was a part in this that I want to point out, and I want to know what you guys think of it, because my wife said that Goku's a moron. It's when he lets go of Raditz's tail.
Oh, yeah. Raditz says, if you let me go, I'll leave.
Yeah. Raditz says, I swear I will leave. I wouldn't hurt you or your son. I'm your brother. What do you guys think? You think Goku was stupid for letting go?
I mean... Yeah.
I'm trying to think objectively, because he repeatedly does that throughout the whole series.
Yeah,
and more often than not, it works out for him.
But I'm trying to think of, like, if I was objectively rewatching it for the first time. Like, it's a pretty dumb move, like, because the guy already kidnapped your kid. Like, that was, like, the very first thing he did. And then told you... Hey, don't come back here unless you've killed 100 people, and just bring their heads as proof. Like, that's enough. Just bring the heads.
I don't need the bodies. Just bring the heads.
Yeah, just bring the heads. Like, I don't think that's the guy that is just going to be like, no, I'll leave, man. That's cool.
Well, I don't know. And that's his brother, too. So you kind of, I guess he kind of has that
He doesn't even give a shit about his own kid, so it's hard for me to think that the brother thing is really what swayed him here.
Listen, you're missing the biggest plot point to that, and that Goku is there fighting alongside his greatest enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you that's give true. Him leeway.
That's true. He is fighting with Piccolo.
And you gotta think, first time. Everyone starts off as his rival. Yamcha, Krillin, Tien, and now look at them all. They're all super best friends who play baseball together.
Yeah.
One time.
I said this, like, I think when we reviewed, I don't know what we were reviewing for Dragon Ball. It might have been the fight. And I said this, and I still stick by it. I still say that at least in the Saiyan saga, that Yamcha was stronger than Krillin.
Yamcha may have been stronger than Krillin. I don't know. He was stronger than that Cyberman that killed him.
I mean, technically not, but I mean, I see where the argument for it. And I love,
like, I just think him and Tien are just like better fighters in general than Krillin.
Yeah.
At least in the Saiyan saga.
Well, here's the
thing.
Tien
is definitely the strongest Tien is, of the three.
Oh, he's
Tien
definitely
the strongest of the three because that's his focus.
100%. Yeah.
And I could see where you're going with that because Krillin is the most girl focused. That's his main thing, is he wants a girl. Where Yamcha's like, I had a girlfriend already. Whatever.
Yeah, I could get her back, baby.
And Yamcha's just bored.
Yeah.
Also, what does that say about future Bulma's? Is that Stockholm Syndrome? Like, because you think about it, she wanted to get married to Yamcha, and then he dies, and then she marries the guy that killed him.
I don't know.
Stockholm Syndrome?
Well, they had already broken up.
Well,
it's definitely not Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, I'm trying to think of
what that is. Stockholm Syndrome is where you get kidnapped and then you're like,
that's the only syndrome I can think of with Stockholm Syndrome. Like, I know that's not a good comparison. I don't know what that would be, but like, that's got to be weird, right? Like, I don't care how long it's been since you broke up. You're like in the Saiyan saga. You're massively professing your love for this guy. You're like, don't worry, he'll get wished back in a year and I'll marry him in a year. And then you're like, wait a minute, the guy that killed him.
Personally, I think she was full of shit. I don't think Bulma had any plans to marry Yamcha. I think she was just...
Oh, she was trying to... Yeah. The attention hadn't been on her in a while.
I think her and Yamcha are pretty morally ambiguous with their relationship status.
Yeah.
I think how
cheap... Yamcha... I forgot. I think we mentioned... I think, Saima, you may have mentioned it. And a past DBC thing about how cheap Yamcha was for his baseball team.
Oh, yeah.
When they're like, hey, you know you're here to hit that home run, right? And he's like, yeah, for like 10,000 zenny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really not a lot of money.
And he's just I think they, like, in the filler episode, he was at like 500 in a row or something.
Yeah, his batting percentage had to be 1,000.
Just think how much they'd pay any baseball player who could guarantee a home run every time.
Yeah, and you'd think at that point, if his batting average was 1,000, meaning he never misses.
Can we talk about Pepper Johnson? I think that was his name. The black dude who was playing on the team.
I don't remember Pepper Johnson. I thought you were talking about a real person. I don't know enough about baseball.
No, it was not a real person, but he was on the Dragon Ball Z filler episode for Black. And they really
struggled to
draw black people.
They did.
Well, look at Mr. Popo. I mean,
but he's an alien, though, right?
Is he? Like, is have he? We ever? Is have he we Namekian? Ever re- have we ever really?
I don't think he's an American.
Have they ever actually said what Mr. Popo is?
No, I don't.
He's the
assistant
to the Guardian. I kind of assume like. He was kind of like Shenron, really... and
I can't tell if maybe? He is it like a Whis thing where like we secretly are gonna find out that Mr. Popo is actually like the most powerful person in the world. He just doesn't want to fight.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's a secret with Whis, but I mean, Mr. Popo trained Goku.
Yeah,
he's got
true.
Some power there,
and he trained Korin, didn't he?
I think, that, and also isn't, and I think I wasn't think... he also the person that made the device that sends them back in time and the time capsule chamber? Wasn't he the guy behind both of those?
He might be. I'm not sure about
because
that.
I think because he was there before...
Before Kami, right?
Kami, yeah. Because Kami came like way... Yeah, like there was... So it makes me think that he maybe was the Guardian of Earth like just before and then Kami came around. I don't know. They never really go into Mr. Popo at all, but...
We don't need to put this much focus on Mr. Popo's backstory. So,
Mr. Popo and Saiyan saga.
We got our hero Goku, his son Gohan, and then Gohan's dad Piccolo. Goku is dead, right? Mm-hmm. Our main hero is dead. And normally that would be bad for the series, but not this time. They pulled some Yu Yu Hakusho stuff here and it was good.
They did. So again, the issues that I like had is like, I thought some of the filler for the Snake Way stuff was unneeded and didn't really add a whole lot to the series.
I loved
Name any unnecessary part to Snake Way.
Him falling down with the two ogres. Like what? Like that was like, what was the point?
Goku going to hell?
That wasn't hell though.
Okay, am I the only one who forgot about a go-kart race? That shit was the best. And then the whole time I was like, but don't you run faster than a go-kart?
He does. I mean, sometimes go-karts are fun.
Yeah.
I love go-karts are pretty great. But no, the thing that I really enjoyed was like,
but he still has his license.
That's true, yeah. But to what Josh was saying, like, I love the training stuff with Gohan and Piccolo. Like, once Goku's like just gone for a few episodes before you jump to Snake Way, you get some of that early Gohan stuff.
Child kidnap. That good old Stockholm syndrome.
Technically, he asked for permission.
He did not ask. He told.
He said,
that was his way of doing it.
Yeah, that was his way of asking, like, hey, I'm just going to go take this kid now and train him because.
And then he put Krillin at risk because Krillin had to go tell Chi Chi.
Yeah.
Which he ended up not doing.
It's true.
Which was the smart move.
It was not smart. You get that free food, you sleep there, and you leave in the morning acknowledging nothing.
Krillin needed to man up. Roshi was the hero in that situation. He just got to the point. He told it like it was.
Hey, he's gone. He's a straight shooter. He's with an alien and his true father. He'll be back. Just relax.
So Gohan's first 6 months of training are pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs. I always forget. I had forgotten that Dragon Ball Z like has like dinosaur. Like,
I can never forget that. That's what you.
Yeah, you get some sad moments in there. You get the death of the robot. You get the death of the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yep. And you get all the kids.
The adopted kids.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the adopted kids. Yeah, the one guy leaves all the other kids.
This isn't gonna work on Gohan. He didn't leave the kids. He knew he couldn't take care of them.
He knew they were going to jail. It's true. And he didn't want to go to jail too. So he said,
"All those kids are going to jail. You guys are going to jail. I'm out. I'm gonna go."
King Furry's putting all those kids in jail.
I'm gonna go live my best life. That guy seemed decently powerful. I would have liked to see more about that guy because his speed was on par with Gohan.
But Gohan was three.
Yeah, but Gohan's also a Saiyan. I'm just saying,
Gohan also has the highest power level at that point.
Yeah, he does. I'm saying, in terms of seeing other people that have like potential, it was like early on, it was nice seeing them like kind of just throw out like, hey, there's technically some other people that with training could be something, but you're never going to see them again.
Probably has more potential than Videl.
Well, yeah.
Videl didn't start training when she was.
Yeah.
So Gohan out in the wasteland. You know, the million miles of wasteland just out of nowhere. He occasionally turns into a big giant ape. That's pretty cool. A
couple times. Twice, I think. I think twice.
Twice. Pretty fun. So pretty good. We got Piccolo over there destroying the moon, which was already gone. That's crazy how that happens,
Yeah, that's true.
Roshi destroyed the moon and got a real talking to by the World Martial Arts announcer.
Yeah,
and then moon is back.
Way back in Dragon Ball. It's a new series, so like the universe just reset.
It was just another asteroid. It just got caught in the gravity.
The universe reset itself. They're like, oh, hey, it's a new series. We got to reset the world.
They Dragon Ball wished it on one of their off years.
Yeah.
When they didn't have anything to wish for, they were like, we could use a moon.
I love too how like realistically, the first time he turns and special beam cannons or you know shoots the moon or whatever, just like with a ki blast or whatever. It's only like maybe a week. It hasn't been long since the Raditz fight, you know, like, Piccolo hasn't gotten that much stronger just, you know, yet. He's barely started his training. And before he could barely kill Raditz from point blank range, 30 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
This time though, he just ki blasts thousands of miles into space and just blows up the moon.
Yeah.
Like zero power level. like barely powers up. He's like, whatever.
First off, the moon's power level is zero. So that's why I couldn't defend the way Raditz did. You got to understand, like, a week is a long time for Piccolo because he can train in his mind.
That's true.
And then turn himself into three people and train against them.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something about him being tired. I was going to be like, he regrew a whole arm, but he waited until after the fight for.
Yeah, it begs the question why he couldn't just, like, why he waited. So, I mean, I guess maybe if it takes too much energy. You gotta focus.
I think he set Goku up to die.
Well, he did say at the time he did want to also kill Goku. Like, he was like, so I think, yeah. He probably saw it as, like, this is a good opportunity to just kill both of them and take over the world if I want to.
Is he the only Dragon Ball Z villain to kill Goku on purpose?
Cell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
One or two. That's second, both green. And that's second form Cell too, right? That kills him.
No, that was perfect Cell.
It was second form because he'd already spit out Android 18.
Because he was about to explode, and Goku teleports him to
that's right.
Roshi's place. Not Roshi.
King Kai.
Teleports him to King Kai's place, and then Cell blows up.
Who we met in the Saiyan Saga.
He met him at the end of Snake Road.
Weirdest training. That's
what we were talking about. So while Gohan is training with his new dad, you got Goku just leisurely walking around Snake Road, right? Getting into antics, falling off here and there.
Takes him 10 months, right?
Poor ogres off the snake way.
Yeah, it takes him 10 months to get there, right?
I thought it took him 9.
Okay. I thought when he got there, he said, we only have two. I thought King Kai said we only have like 2 months left for training.
I could be remembering it differently.
It was nine or ten.
So he gets to King Kai's cute little planet and he meets a monkey and he trains with the monkey. Do you think that's what really helped his power level more than anything else?
Was the training with the monkey?
Yeah.
I think so. Because it took him way longer with the monkey Bubbles. Than it did. Yeah. It took him way longer to catch Bubbles than it did to, hit Gregory.
To be fair, he tricked Gregory too.
He did trick Gregory. That wasn't the point of the test.
Yeah,
that's true. The point was just to catch him. And he did, but he did it by tricking him. So who knows?
He's always been a brilliant tactician.
It's true. And then he just, it's like, hey, this is enough. I'm gonna teach you Kaioken now. You got this.
I'm gonna teach you Kaioken in one day.
You got this, man. It's a super easy technique.
It seems to be, which raises a question about why the other people who end up at King Kai's place
never learn it.
Never learn Kaioken or the Spirit Ball or anything like that.
Because they go through the same training, right?
I guess they go through training with them. Shit.
I could have sworn I remember a scene where when Tien and Yamcha and all them are at King Kai's place that he makes them catch Bubbles.
He does.
I think he trains them, but I don't know if he teaches them.
He trains them and then he makes them fight the Ginyu Squad, who they beat.
Yeah.
I think beat pretty easily too.
Yeah.
And then reality.
I don't want to talk about reality. So back on Earth, we've got a Gohan making his way home, right? And he makes it home and he sees his mom and he's like, fuck that bitch.
He's like, oh God, I don't want to do homework. No, I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, he's three.
He's like, I'm three. I want to hang out with this odd green man.
And get really powerful and learn Masenko somehow because...
And let him dress me with
his
clothes.
That's a move. That's a move that Piccolo knows.
Why wouldn't he learn Piccolo's moves?
It's just like I figured. Like when he does his first move, like you'd see like a special beam cannon, or something like that. And he's like Masenko,
And I'm how like, long it takes Gohan to do a special beam cannon?
Yeah, he's never done it, right?
He has.
Really?
I'm blanking on when it was.
It was in the new Dragon Ball Super movie.
Oh, okay.
Did that new one come out?
Yeah.
Hero?
Dragon Ball Super
Superheroes.
It came out in Japan.
Oh, okay. So you watched the subbed?
There are ways to watch it. I mean, it's not subbed, but you make it work. I watched a fan cam fan sub.
Love that.
Got it.
You figure it out. Isn't it crazy? I don't know. Maybe he teaches him later. Maybe he never teaches him and he just puts two and two together.
But he doesn't learn the best move, which is Hell Zone Grenade.
Well, that's true. Okay, so now I got to see if the new movie's worth watching, if Gohan does something different finally.
Gohan does something that'll blow your mind.
He wins a fight.
He researches bugs that turn golden.
Of course.
It's worth watching.
I'll still watch it in the hopes that they redeem Gohan in some way.
Well, he does get to wear Piccolo's cape.
He does. Let me talk about that. And that's the thing that bugs me the most about Dragon Ball Z. They're just saying you have to redeem Gohan because Gohan chose not to be a fighter. Do we have
because Toriyama chose for him.
Okay, but do Toriyama chose for everyone? Do we have to redeem Chi-Chi and Ox King?
We could, yeah.
Some people move on. They don't fight anymore. I think everyone should have left Gohan the fuck alone.
And Gohan was never really a fighter.
Gohan, yeah, he as much as everyone pushed him to it, that's not what he wanted to do.
Yeah, and you see in the Saiyan Saga, he's kind of not built for it either. Granted, you're throwing him into with the wolves.
You are definitely throwing him in with the wolves.
But literally, like,
So yeah, we spend the first half of Dragon Ball Z and the second half of Dragon Ball Super pushing Gohan to be a fighter. I think you just leave him alone. If he doesn't want to fight, don't make him fight.
I mean, who do you want to be an orthodontist?
So who do you see, or something like that? Yeah, who do you see as being the next? Like, because eventually, if they want to keep Dragon Ball going, they have to retire Goku at some point, and they have to move on to somebody else.
They literally never have to do that.
Goten, or if you want a new person, Goten or Trunks.
So I'm saying, if you wanted a new person, right? If they were gonna push somebody to like take the show in a new direction, who would it actually be at this
point? Goku Jr. from the end of Dragon Ball GT.
God, 20 grandsons.
Pan's grandson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Pan's grandson. Jesus Christ. It'll be Pan.
It'll definitely be Pan.
Probably. No, it'll be Garlic Jr. Garlic Jr. will be Garlic come back Jr.
And the Spice
redeem
Boys.
Himself.
Let me tell you something about the new Dragon Ball Super movie. I will tell you it was heartwarming to see Piccolo beating the shit out of a kid with a bowl cut. It just brought back a lot of fond memories.
I'll definitely at least watch the new movie. I at least watched. I haven't watched Dragon Ball Super, but I have been keeping up with most of the movies, at least, because they do a really good job with the movies for the most part now.
Oh yeah, the movies are beautiful. I've seen some cuts of it, like screen grabs.
Yeah,
but the CG looks really good.
Yeah, but back to what I was originally saying is that I was just surprised that like Gohan's first move is a Masenko, which came out of nowhere. I don't know if that translates to something because they like to pick names that mean other things. I don't know if that one means something, but
Masenko means Daddy Piccolo's Big Blast.
Probably. It probably does.
It means I'm green on the inside.
It's also just very influenced by like how that does real dad when he's like, "Hey, Gohan, you need to learn some moves. You want to know the Kamehameha?" No, I'm good, Piccolo. I'd rather learn something else.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So Piccolo gave him Goku's uniform, right? For training. And then for the fight.
Because that uniform is essentially like tattered and destroyed. So he gives him a new uniform, which is his.
Why not? Piccolo uniform.
And yeah, that's all. And then it makes Gohan choose it again after the Saiyan Saga when he leaves on the spaceship to go to Namek. Brings his Piccolo outfit.
Oh, yeah. After he dons his little sailor boy outfit.
Yeah. Here's a missed opportunity I think we could all agree on. You know how Roshi and King Kai and Whis all have a special little symbol? Piccolo deserves his own symbol.
Yeah.
I thought he did have a school symbol he put on the back of. Because I thought when he gives Gohan the first outfit, he says, your dad's symbol's on the front, mine's on the back.
You're thinking of when Goku gets his. He has the turtle symbol on the front and the King Kai on the back.
Yeah, King Kai.
I could have sworn Piccolo tells Gohan, my symbol's on the back and your dad's on the front.
I don't know if he even had a symbol.
Piccolo doesn't have a symbol.
I mean, I don't think Gohan's
there's like
uniform
a Piccolo, a but that's not much of a symbol.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking that.
Goku probably deserves his own symbol at this point. Well, Goku needs to start training people. Anyway, back to where we are.
Back to Saiyan Saga.
Goku only trains one person ever, and it's Oob. Anyway, back to the Saiyan Saga.
Someone's backing me up here about Piccolo.
I know he has one in the future when he's an adult, right?
I think so. Yeah. Also, I think Josh just froze.
No, he's just not moved.
He just doesn't want to. I'm like curious about this now.
I don't think Kid Gohan had one on his gi.
No. So So that's how everybody trains. How do the humans train?
They get beat up.
They get beat up pretty bad.
Yeah, they get beat up.
He does actually have one on his knee, so I don't know what that symbol is.
What's the symbol?
It's a kanji. Sai
has always been a part of the team.
Facts. It's a kanji.
Okay, yeah. I knew I remembered something. But yeah, so the humans, they go out there their own training. They fight two dead Saiyans from the past on a different planet.
Oh, it's the King Piccolo symbol.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the humans, yeah, they don't train on their own. They get summoned by Kami, the god of Earth, to train. The same way Goku trained before the last World Martial Arts tournament.
Yeah, to fight Dragon Piccolo. Ball.
Yeah.
They get his sloppy seconds. Well, for the first time.
Well, that's all anyone gets in Dragon Ball.
Oh, man. It took them long.
Yeah, they... We got old Mr. Popo training them, sending them back in time to get beat up by Saiyans. And the Saiyans just beat the crap out of them.
To get ready for the real fight.
Yeah, and then he's like...
These are the weakest Saiyans ever. These are babies.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. Didn't he say, like, these guys are, like...
I think the Saiyans that
are coming are like, they're like, he's like, oh yeah, the Saiyans that are coming are like three times as strong as the guys that you just fought. And they're like, more. What?
But I think like, they're still stronger than Raditz.
They might be.
No, I don't.
They might
I don't,
be. They might they be, get some good gains there.
They might be on par because, okay, so they said that the Cybermen had a power level of 1,000.
1,200.
Which was on par with Raditz.
Yeah. Because I think they clocked Piccolo when he was using the, special beam at like 1500 or something, and that was higher than Raditz.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Vegeta says the Cybermen is 1,000.
It's 1200.
Is it 1200?
12.
Telling you, it's 1200.
Okay,
something
so
like that.
But as if Raditz had the same power level as the Cybermen,
yeah,
and the
Raditz was like an average Saiyan.
Yeah, he was like the cannon fodder, and he would be like he's the cannon fodder in the wars. He's the guy that goes out first to see how strong the world really is, and if the rest of the guys need to actually fight or not.
That's why you could pull his tail, apparently, because he wasn't an elite warrior.
Yeah, that was he hadn't overcome that weakness yet. Also, little credit to Nappa here when they found out about the Dragon Balls. That Nappa's first instinct is to witch Raditz back to life. Little
he's
credit
a caring
to Nappa.
Individual.
Little credit to Nappa there.
Did he? I forgot about that.
That was his first instinct when Vegeta tells him. He goes, "Yeah, we can witch Raditz back to life."
They could have wished all the Saiyans back.
They could have.
They could have. That was probably would have been a thing to do. So we got those guys training in the past, and then we've got our boys, the Saiyans, Vegeta and Nappa, doing a little training themselves on.
Yeah. On the
Planet Arlene.
I like that. That was a fun episode. I enjoyed them just landing and they're like, no, let's just get captured and see what happens. And then like they introduce like this Romeo and Juliet love story, and you're like, oh, all right. And they just save the world from tyranny, and you're like, okay, like what are they gonna do? Like it's Vegeta and Nappa. Like they're not just gonna leave it this. And then they go off into space, and Vegeta's like, wait, no, I'm sorry, I got one really quick thing, real quick, and gone. It just blows up the world. Like all right, we can go.
That they are rude dudes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think it was a good idea to do that though too. From like one, because it was entertaining, but also because at this point all we had heard is that these guys are way stronger than Raditz, crazy powerful, and they'll be here in a year. And you're like, all right, well, like how strong could they really be? And so I think it was smart of the show to like give you just an episode of like, here's just them goofing off.
Yeah,
they literally blow up a world. Yeah, they literally blow up a world in because they were bored.
Yeah, and they had time to kill.
Yeah, they were like, oh, whatever. Like I love too that the machine like. It's like the machine's so used to it at this point that it just wakes him up like, hey, there's this really weak world that you guys could murder if you guys want to come on here.
And that really shows Vegeta's not the best business.
Yeah, because you could have sold that point.
Yep.
Well, I think even Nappa says it like, oh, we can sell it. And then Vegeta's like, no, it's not. This isn't worth anything because it's
right.
I think he just wanted to blow it.
Every planet's worth something.
Yeah, right. Someone will buy it. There's an indigenous life form on that you could. That's a slave army right there. Like, come on.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm bored. I'm going to blow it up. They said we were the good guys. I took personal offense to that.
So everybody's drawing close to Earth here. 2 days before, and then King Kai's like, "Yo, Goku, it's time to go back.
Yeah,
you have 2 days."
Oh, wait. Yeah, he's like, "Wait a minute, how do I get back? I don't know. Run on Snake Way, but it like, took me like 9 months. Took me like 9 months to get here. Well, yeah, but just use all of your energy to get back."
And he was like, "Oh, I forgot. And
hope it works out.
I forgot that you were gonna have to run back."
Like, what if Korn didn't have a Senzu bean ready? What was the plan there? Get to the fight. And just, all right, guys. Okay, I'm here to save the world.
Well, I think Goku's plan was that Piccolo would beat everyone, and then he'd just show up, and everyone would high five. That's not exactly how it goes down.
It did not. Nappa was way stronger than.
So we got Vegeta who wants to make a game out of this. Yeah, right? So
let's do a tournament Cybermen style.
So he plants his little Cybermen.
Girls, five Raditzes.
To which Yamcha says, "Fuck these guys," and then he beats the shit out of one. And I stand by my statement that had Yamcha not gotten cocky, he would have beaten every Cyberman.
See, I don't think it was just that. I think it was a combination of him getting cocky in the fight just before when Tien beats his Cybermen with like relative ease, and Vegeta like kills the one that lives, and then tells the other ones, "If you don't win by any means necessary, I'm gonna stomp your head in." So like, I think if he hadn't done that too, that fight with Yamcha would have won, and the Cybermen would have just like tried to jump out and hit him again, and Yamcha would have killed him. But it was because of that threat from Vegeta that he's like, "No, I'm gonna blow myself
up." I think that's part. I don't know if Cybermen have that deep of a thought process.
I think it's more just survival instinct. Like, if your options are getting your head stomped in by Vegeta or blowing yourself up.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, instant death versus like a few seconds of feeling your head squashed in.
I think they're kind of like the Cell Juniors though. I think they're just semi-sentient.
Yeah. I think Cell Juniors are a little more sentient, right? They could talk a little.
Probably, but we don't know enough about them. Yeah, they could kind of think for themselves a tiny bit. But yeah, then they also mimic their Cell's powers. They didn't like the Cybermen didn't really have like much of anything. We don't really see much from them except for the acid splash from their heads. And the
most of what we know about Cybermen is from Budokai.
Is pretty much from Budokai.
We know they come in many flavors.
So Tien beats his easy. Yamcha essentially beats his, but he's cocky. He holds back. Makes a lot of mistakes. Ends up getting blown up. So technically, it's a draw. A draw.
I'll give it that.
It's technically a draw. He didn't lose.
He kind of lost.
Everybody lost.
Well, everyone lost. Everybody lost in that fight. The people that lost the most though was that baseball team because there goes that hitting percentage. You're not getting that back. That's done.
One thing that I forgot. Okay, so it's around this time, but Yajirobe trained, and then Yajirobe's hiding out, right?
Yajirobe's giving interviews.
Eating a bunch of food and stuff. So why is this the only time where everyone in the world seems to know who Goku is and that he's like the strongest person? Because he mentions Goku to an interview and he was like, "From the World Martial Arts Tournament?" They're like, "Yeah." And then like every time you see him fighting like Cell or something, "Oh, it's Hercule."
Well,
I think it's because at that point in between, like, because obviously they don't know about the Frieza stuff. Like, that's on a different planet. They don't know. People from Earth don't know about any of that. All they know is that Goku disappears for a very long ass time, because the next time they see him is the Cell Saga. And that's what, 10 years?
You got to keep in mind, guys. This was before the internet, before the people of that Earth had internet. People forgot shit and didn't care. And the information
out of their life, and so then when they get internet, then there's this guy Hercule who then wins every tournament.
I think that is kind of it actually.
It might be it.
Let's be honest. Do we really care who won the karate who won any sort of championship tournament back in like the 60s when it was like Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson? Like, you think people like this day and age really know who those guys are and the fights they had with like Evander Holyfield, or do they just know that Logan Paul is a douchebag?
I mean, I know they're...
That's WWE superstar Logan Paul.
I think it's like that. Like, they finally get this technology, probably thanks to Bulma. Bulma probably just shot up the Earth's technology by a few decades on her own with Capricorn. Oh, yeah,
she's friggin' making spaceships that go...
Right, but here's the thing. Bulma had alien technology to go.
Yeah, she did.
That's crazy.
So you gotta thank aliens for the fact that that world got internet.
That's probably true.
I mean,
that's probably true. Okay, so we got the Cybermen; they're taken care of. Nappa shouldn't be too much of a challenge after them, right?
Right. Well, okay. So quick thing on the Cybermen, because it's a funny thing. So it was Krillin's idea to agree to the tournament because he wants to buy as much time as possible for Goku. They know he's on the way. They're like, we need to buy every minute we can. They do the first two rounds. Yamcha dies. Krillin goes, nope, F this. I'm killing the other four, and I'm ending this.
And uses one of the coolest moves, in my opinion, which is the scatter. Because I think that's the only time you see somebody, like, well, aside from the spirit ball, like, control their ki and make it change direction and then split up.
They do it sometimes later in the series with like key blasts, but yeah, that's the first time in the series you see someone kind of use like a general move but have it hit multiple targets.
Yamcha does it with a spirit ball when they fight, when they're training. So which, Yamcha was the forefather of everything Dragon Ball.
It's true. Yamcha needs to work on being able to move while he controls that.
Yamcha needs to get his head out of his ass.
Yamcha should have used the Wolfang Fist. He didn't even get to use a cool name or named attack.
Didn't even get to do it. He just did the energy ball thing and was like, and then he did a Kamehameha.
Yeah, he sure did.
He should have done it better.
He didn't. Yeah, he held back. It goes to the cockiness. He held back on the Kamehameha.
Personally, what I would have done if I was Yamcha is I would have shot up that Kamehameha and then just shot Nappa in the face when he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. They really misjudge it. But yes, okay, so back to Nappa. He did, yeah. So, okay, so back to Nappa. Yeah, you'd think, okay, these Cybermen, they crushed him. Tien didn't even break a sweat. Now it's Nappa's turn. And Nappa just proceeds, like...
mop the floor with the entire group.
It's like fresh fish. It's like Nappa's been in prison for 30 years. New batch of people arrive, and he's like, I'm going to make all of you my bitch.
Oh, y'all are cute.
He's like, nice hand. I think I'll take it. And then he does.
Yeah, and he's a man of his word.
He cuts off Tien's arm. That sucks.
With a closed fist.
This is not like Piccolo constantly losing his arm. Tien ain't getting another one.
No. I mean, well, he does.
Well, yeah, dying helps. But also, when he gets rid of that arm, Tien can't do the Triforce, tri-beam cannon. He doesn't have. That's missing an arm.
He can't do the volleyball move either.
No, he's missing an arm. Can't even do a Kamehameha, which I assume he knows because they all seem to know it.
They all probably know the Kamehameha. They've all trained with Roshi.
Yeah, Roshi teaches everyone the Kamehameha.
You'd think Tien would be one of the top. He trained with Shen and Roshi.
Yeah, and he was, you know, like, he wasn't, like, he was weaker than Goku, but, like, not by a lot.
I think technique-wise, back in Tien
technique, yeah. Oh, he definitely knows more than Goku in terms of technique. Yeah, he's been training way longer in technique.
Chiaotzu with both too.
Chiaotzu was a little king, and he just gave it all up to hang out with Tien.
I don't think we ever really get to see what Chiaotzu can do because his default method is just to blow himself up.
So he does blow himself up, huh?
He does. Yeah,
and that probably hurts Nappa pretty bad, though.
You see him. You get to see him kind of fighting the Cybermen a little bit when they're trying to do like that. Like they're each fighting one at the exact same time. But then, yeah, they start fighting Nappa. And Nappa's just destroying him, and he's like, "All right, I'm gonna pull a Cyberman. And I'm gonna blow myself up because that worked. That worked for them. It killed Yamcha, so it's gonna work for us." Which I guess they tease that it could have worked because Vegeta says, "Oh, Nappa, if you didn't get up your defenses at that last second, that would have killed you."
Just like Thanos said, you should have went for the head.
Yeah.
He should have went for Nappa's head.
Yeah, said he goes for the back, the most protected spot.
The most protected. I'm going to grab your... Well, to be fair, strategically, it was the spot. There was no way in hell, you know.
That's true, yeah. There was no way to get him off of him. Right, yeah. We're going to get... Yeah, he chose a spot that Nappa couldn't throw him off. But maybe prepare yourself ahead of time. Maybe start blowing yourself up a few seconds before and then like hand grenade it, you know, like pull the pin, count to two out of three, and then jump on Nappa's head and
let Tien throw him at him.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so Tien, I'm going to blow myself up, bro.
So Nappa's plan is just fucking drop him back first onto some spikes that are there for some reason.
Yeah.
That big rocky outcrop. He's just like, fuck this kid. It probably won't hurt me, though.
It didn't.
it might have been a good idea for Chiaotzu to not blow himself up and just let Nappa drop onto those spiky rocks, and maybe it would have stabbed them both.
Yeah, it's not a bad thought. And because you think about it, you're on Nappa's back. The worst that happens is Nappa impales himself and then impales you, and then in the last second of your life, just blow up anyway.
Yeah, just, he should have done it.
Yeah, not Nappa has the coolest armor, though. He's the only one I think we see with the black armor.
Yeah, but yeah, because Vegeta's think of how cool. Think of the future. Think how cool Gohan looks with his bowl cut and his armor. Man, that kid's fly.
I still like the sailor uniform.
He should have fought Frieza in that.
Oh, that would have put him in his place.
Put on that sailor uniform, then pitch slap Frieza. Okay, so you watch the Nappa fight. He's pretty much just like they're getting in a couple shots, you know, some lucky shots here and there, but for the most part, Nappa's just destroying them. He's kind of his toying with them.
And then he sees Gohan.
Yeah, and he's like, "All right." And then Gohan does actually some decent stuff.
He's like, "I'm gonna murder this.
I'm gonna murder this child." And then Vegeta calls for a break. He's like, "No, they said Goku's on the way. They keep bringing him up. But let's wait. Let's give him 5 minutes."
No, they'd already taken the break, and then Nappa got bored, so he let him play with them.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, like, I just love that during the break that like they're all sitting there on the break, and Nappa's like, "I'm bored. Can I go off and do stuff?" And Vegeta's like,
and
"Sure."
Blows up the planet.
Kills the army.
So he goes off and starts murdering thousands of people, and all of the Z fighters are just like, "We're gonna let this happen.
What are they gonna do about it?"
Pretty much, because
continue the fight. Continue the fight. Like, really, this break that you're giving, like that you're being given, is really gonna be the catalyst to you suddenly beating Nappa?
Man, they signed up for the World National Guard.
That's true. They just wanted to meet King Furry. So Nappa is gonna shoot an energy beam and kill Gohan, right?
Yeah.
But something stops him, and that something is Piccolo.
Daddy
Piccolo.
Daddy
Green Arms.
Daddy Piccolo jumps in the path and dies. A
horrible plan. Truly horrible plan.
After Gohan messes up the perfect plan that
it really doesn't work out when you consider the fact that the thought process was, "Hey, don't worry, we can just use the Dragon Balls again, like after this is done." Piccolo knows this. And he also knows that he's tied to Kami.
It should have been Krillin.
But he jumps in front and he's like, "No, I'm gonna die. We're gonna get rid of these Dragon Balls."
You know,
but it also stops the Saiyans from getting them too, I guess.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a thought. It was a feeling. And it was a feeling of, "Hey, this kid was the first person to ever be nice to me. I need to protect my son, and I will." And he does.
He does. Then, yeah, he takes the blast form, and then Goku and shows up.
Piccolo says, "Wish me back, okay?" And yeah. Gohan's like, "How the fuck am I going to do that, bro?
You're dying. There goes the Dragon Balls, asshole."
And Goku comes back with a single Senzu Bean.
Yep. Yeah, that's all they had.
A single one.
Look, I don't know what it takes to grow these Senzu Beans, but fucking.
But it clearly
Korin
takes more. It clearly Korin takes
only
more than
ever
a
has
year.
Too. It's weird.
Yeah, and it clearly takes more than a year because Korin spent a year growing two Senzu Beans exactly.
I think Yajirobe eats.
He might. They keep you full for like two weeks or something.
That's like so a half a day for.
Goku makes it back, right? And he gets to the battlefield, and that's when things get bad for Nappa.
Yeah, he proceeds to just start whooping on Nappa.
It gets like vicious.
Goku technically saves Gohan too,
because Nappa like is still continuously in the fight, but clearly outmatched. And then so Vegeta calls him off and says, "You're done. I'm gonna take over."
So Nappa, we didn't talk about it. This is back when things mattered. Nappa's power level is 4,000. Sounds like it's not a lot, but it is a lot.
But when you compare the fact that they said the Z fighters were barely stronger than the Cybermen, that was around like 1200. Maybe the Z fighters were like 1400, 1500 minus Piccolo.
Yeah.
And Gohan.
I think Piccolo is at like
Tien, Yamcha, and Krillin are around like 1400, let's say.
I got some info on that. You got Nappa at 4,000, Piccolo at 8,000, which is good gains for a year. Goku at 10,000. Vegeta at 18,000. 18 fucking
Piccolo's
thousand.
Piccolo's at 8?
Piccolo's at 8,000.
Then how did he get beat by Nappa?
This is a great question. This doesn't make sense. I feel like that's wrong.
I think 4,000 was just Nappa when he's not powered up, though. Like, 8,000, I think, could was be. Piccolo. I think 8,000 was Piccolo fully powered up using every single ounce of his energy.
Yeah, that's probably him.
But I think 4,000 was just Nappa's walking around power level. Because I think Nappa by himself was like around like 9,000. Because Goku was winning, but not like super decisive.
Yeah. The point is, these are massive jumps in power, man. From what they had before to what they have now to what they're up against, it's insurmountable. Aside from Nappa. Goku.
So that's the interesting part. Initially, Vegeta calls him off and just says, it's my turn, you're done, and Nappa would have lived. But Nappa tries attacking Goku again.
And then
after Goku Vegeta says,
Goku kills Nappa, right?
He does not. He hits him again right in the gut and just kind of throws him at Vegeta. And then Vegeta's like, you dumbass, I told you to back off. So he throws Nappa in the air and blows him up and kills Nappa.
So I found out that the Saiyans were 3,000. The Phantom Saiyans?
We're 3,000? That's not bad.
Yep.
That's still pretty
so
good.
So Nappa's dead.
Yeah, Nappa's dead.
Killed by Vegeta.
This is when shit gets crazy. A lot of people think Dragon Ball Z gets crazy later on, but no, it's crazy from the...
Oh, yeah. Because Vegeta... I mean, like, because you can look at the whole fight and go, like, Vegeta had that fight won.
Vegeta had that fight won multiple times. Had he just fucking went after Goku from the beginning, he would have won.
Had not let his pride.
So it's like an even fight, and then Vegeta's like, oh, wait a minute, I can just make a moon with
blood. It's not really an even fight. Like,
well, he's Goku, winning, but like...
Goku, even with his 2x KO Ken, is not at Vegeta's level.
No, but Vegeta's getting annoyed that he's not like destroying Goku, so he's like, all right, I'm gonna turn into a monkey by using Blutz waves, because we learned how to do that. Which begs the question, do you think Raditz knew how to do that?
Yeah.
Raditz might have.
They all knew how to do it, because I mean, if it's a technique, I imagine...
He said it was Vegeta says it's a technique we learned how to do because we learned that we were going to worlds with like one moon rise like every few years, and we were, you know, it was taking us too long to take over worlds that way, so we made our own moon.
And I imagine Nappa being an elite would have to know it too.
Yeah. But Vegeta's the only one smart enough to be like, wait a minute, I'm not winning this fight as fast as I want. I want to beat this guy has the audacity to have hit me a few times now. I'm just gonna turn into a giant ape and just blow up this world
and break his bones.
Here's an interesting part with that right there. This moment here is when Goku finally figures out who killed his grandpa after all this time.
him.
He's like, oh shit, you turned into a giant monkey. I was probably a giant monkey.
Oh my god, I killed my own grandfather.
Yeah, that's right, because he wasn't there for when Gohan transformed.
No,
so he never sees it. You know, he has that big line, that big reveal, and then he just moves on.
Yeah, and he's like, oh god, I killed my grandfather. Anyway. What were we doing? Oh, right.
So fighting. To be fair, though, there was something that was said in an episode of The Simpsons once that really rings true. And it's you can't keep blaming yourself. Just blame yourself once and move on. And
he's very one dimensional. He's like, all right,
he's got shit to do.
That thing happened. I'm moving on. I gotta go fight now. But yeah, so not only that, but he transforms into the ape. Yajirobe cuts his tail off, even with his tail cut off, which
gloss over Yajirobe saving the world.
No, I'm saying Yajirobe like comes out of hiding and slices a giant monkey's tails off with a single katana strike, which is some insane swordsman skills.
Yajirobe saves the fucking world, and he does not.
Hey, Yajirobe trained.
And then
here's the thing. Here's why Yajirobe gets more credit than anybody else, because he's fucking terrified. Okay, the only one other person is really terrified out there, you know, and he's doing it, and we give him credit too. But Yajirobe is like shaking. He's fat and scared, and he doesn't know what to do. But he puts himself out there. He does what he has to do. That's called courage.
I think he's the only one that drove his car there too.
Yeah, he drove his car. In the words of Mufasa.
He can't fly.
That's what courage is. You're being scared and you do it anyway.
The rest of them can all fly. He can't. He doesn't know how to fly. Also, this is just a random thought. Just quickly going back, Goku proves at the end of King Kai's place he can fly at this
point. Yeah.
Why did he take the flying Nimbus when he's faster than that?
Probably to save energy.
To get to the fight?
Probably to save energy, yeah.
It was just weird to me that like it was like if time was of the essence, why are you taking the slower mode of transportation?
And he needed something to save Gohan with.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So we're talking about Yajirobe cuts off Vegeta's tail.
Yeah.
And then Vegeta is upset and beats the shit out of everyone.
Yeah. Which also goes to how stronger Vegeta was than all of them at this point, because you watch Gohan transform twice and it drains him so much he immediately just passes out.
Vegeta was absolutely in control of himself as an ape.
Yes. Not only that, even when his tail was cut off, he was like, with as much energy as that transformation drained from him, he was like, I'm going to fucking murder all of you.
So let's talk about that fucking murder. What he does to Yajirobe was like the only time I've ever felt bad for someone picking ball. And he punches him, and then Yajirobe is upside down on his head, and he just kneels down and starts punching him in the face.
Repeatedly. Like, oh my God. Like full on, what's the movie with American Gangster, with the curb stomp?
American History X.
American History, yeah. It was like it's like a scene out of that where he's just like, I am gonna kneel down and beat the fucking shit out of you.
It was legitimately one of the most brutal scenes in Dragon Ball because like it was so realistic.
It's just I'm gonna just pummel you.
Mind you, he just finished breaking
up in the air in flashes of light. It's just Vegeta, and it's like him slowly punching the shit out of this defenseless guy,
fat guy.
Yeah, just and then not only that, but then Gohan gets all angry, raises his power level up finally, and fights Vegeta, who's already fought Goku, Krillin, technically I guess Yajirobe, had his tail cut off. And still has the energy to whoop on Gohan.
Yeah.
And then fights Krillin again and gets hit with a spirit bomb. Let's not forget our tiny little spirit bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of a spirit bomb. Goku, even though he has the full spirit bomb and gets hit and loses it, holds on to just a tiny amount, which Krillin says is like the most energy he's ever felt.
So he bounces it and he's like, Krillin, just throw it back. You'll know the right moment. And then Krillin's holding it and he's like, oh, that was the moment, wasn't it?
Like, okay. Ah, shit. All right. And then Yajirobe destroys the element of surprise by just yelling at Krillin to throw the spirit bomb already. So then Krillin snaps out of his, that moment was 5 seconds ago, and finally throws the spirit bomb. But now Vegeta's had like so much time to dodge out of the way. So he does. And then it goes to falls on to Gohan to bounce it back.
To play. And he does.
And he hits Tien's move. He hits Vegeta with it. And then Vegeta gets hit with this, and he's still alive. He's still crawling towards him.
And he's going to beat some ass, but he forgot he made a moon.
Yep. Forgot he made the blood wave, because he says they stay for, he says it's going to last for an hour. He says it's like an hour or something, and he can't deactivate it, which seems like a weird like technique to make, which you can't turn off.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just something they.
Well, I guess I suppose if only the elites could do it and they're in control of the ape form, I guess it wouldn't really matter to them that if they're.
And I imagine they aren't fighting other Saiyans too often with it.
They're probably not being challenged. But yeah, so then Goku just tells Gohan, "Hey, I know your tail's back again."
So yeah, let's talk about that. He regrows his tail
in the middle.
For the third time.
So why do you think that is? My theory is that Goku regrew his tail too in Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
My theory is that Saiyans regrow their tail if they see the moon up to a certain point. I think the blunt waves make them regrow their tail.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
But then once they hit a certain age, it just stops.
If your tail's not there, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he tells Gohan, hey, transform, go ape mode. So he goes, so Gohan goes giant ape, and still Vegeta
beats him.
Still is whooping.
Vegeta's winning.
Whooping that ass. He's scared, but he's winning. He's like dodging and bobbing and weaving and like,
God damn it.
Still keeping up. Gohan just happens to get lucky and fall on him Vegeta manages to cut his tail off with a Destructo disc.
Cuts his fucking tail off and then Gohan's falling and Vegeta's like, son of a bitch.
I can't move.
You're wondering if he's going to be small before he hits, but he's not.
Nope. Hits Vegeta in ass first, and then Vegeta still has enough energy to start crawling to his ship.
Vegeta starts crawling to his ship, fucking, he should have shut up.
He gets cocky. He didn't do that. He gets cocky and he's talking on his way to the ship.
To be fair, he did whoop their ass about four times.
He did, but that was over, dude. He knew he was good at this point.
Yeah, at that point, Goku's technically out of the fight, but Krillin and Gohan are still like, I mean, Krillin's the only one that awake, but Gohan could wake up at any moment and Krillin, still have a ton of energy.
Krillin's enough of a threat, obviously, that Goku has to talk him out of killing Vegeta, which is a good move in the long run.
It is.
Another thing that we criticize Goku about, but, you know, it all works out.
Yeah,
it does. He
says, and Vegeta, though, he's just like still, he's like, I'm going to kill you all. And Goku's like, what if we turn him good? And he's like, I'm not going to turn good. I'm going to kill you all.
I can kill you guys. Yeah, but you'll join us, man. Don't worry. Also, it brings a distinction of why is he so confident with Vegeta, but not his own brother?
He was.
Yeah, he was.
No, but like not at the moment of like death. And because what I mean by that is like when he had his tail, like technically Piccolo could have just like walked up and like spirit, like special beam cannon Raditz's legs and been like, good, now you can't move. Like they could have done other things to incapacitate Raditz than just straight killing him. But Goku lets go of his tail and blah, blah, blah. With Vegeta, like it's flat out. You just watch them murder some of your best friends, thousands of civilians. But you're like this guy, though, as he's yelling at you that. Unlike Raditz, who was at least lying that he's going to come back, that he won't kill you. Yeah. He just flat out leaving, being like, no, I'm going to come back and murder your kid and murder everyone you love and care about.
I understand, but you got to admit, Goku was right.
He was totally right. He was
Goku
he was
sees the best in people, and it works out most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time.
He gives a beautiful speech about, you know, Piccolo and how Piccolo was nice enough to raise his son. And then Vegeta flies away off into the sunset.
To go to a world, to go to a place owned by Frieza, a place run by Frieza.
Yeah.
Goku had some pain tolerance, though, because didn't Vegeta break all of his bones? And he was just
He pretty much broke every bone in
his body.
Didn't
we hear the bones breaking?
You hear his ribs breaking, when Ape Vegeta has him in the vice grip and he's squeezing. You hear all the ribs pop.
And it still wasn't as brutal as Yajirobe getting punched in the face. It was surprisingly a lot more brutal than I remember.
It was. It's like it's just like the scene of Vegeta whooping on Yajirobe, him just squeezing Goku and just breaking all the bones, and you're just hearing the bones pop. You're like, Jesus, I watched this when I was like 12.
Yeah, like
there's
10.
Some vicious stuff. Like the squeezing scene, Yajirobe getting his ass beat, and
Tien losing his arm.
Piccolo
losing his arm is nothing to me. It just happens way too often.
He's a lizard.
Like, those are some of your most vicious scenes.
And that was all in one.
Yeah. So we all love it. So what do you think, guys? How would you rate this? How would you rate it? We all agree that it's completely perfect. There were no flaws in it.
Oh, no. What do you think? I
want to point out, though, one thing. Keep in mind, it's weird watching the animation change. Like, you think about this to the way it looks in the Cell Saga. They look like different characters.
Yeah, that's true.
They're drawn completely differently.
Yeah, it's animated completely differently.
Vegeta is one of the people that I would argue changes the most.
The color palette switches a lot, too.
Yeah.
Like just the colors.
Character. Yeah, but it's okay, but... Sai, do you want to do your rating first?
Oh, how are we rating?
Same as what we always do, the Yu Yu Hakusho demon ranking tier. F through S with pluses and minuses. S being, it's like in your top five.
S easy.
What do you got?
S easy.
S easy. I gotcha.
S, okay.
Yeah, agreed. You know what? S plus.
S plus.
So are you saying that Dragon Ball Z is in your top five, or the Saiyan Saga arc is in like your top five?
Both.
The Saiyan Saga. Is our top five.
Both
top five. I don't know. I love the Cell Saga, but I don't know that there's anything better in Dragon Ball Z than the Saiyan Saga. Super Saiyan's cool, but
I like the Cell Saga more, but that's just me. But you're saying S plus. Sai saying an S. I'm gonna go again. I really do enjoy the Saiyan Saga, but I'm gonna give it an A plus.
You son of a bitch.
it's crazy good, and I love it. But I mean, Dragon Ball Z by itself isn't in my top five.
Yes.
So it's hard for me to give the Saiyan Saga an S when I know that the series as a whole is not in my top five.
So it's your problem.
Yeah, I would like to point out that this, rewatching this, has made me how do you put it? I re-solidified it in top three. I was like, dude, I forgot how good Dragon Ball Z was.
Well, I will say I enjoyed it so much. I mentioned it before we started recording that I continued watch. I haven't gone back to it in a few days because I've been watching Yamushi Petal so I can finish it. But I continued watching Dragon Ball after finishing the Cell Saga or the Saiyan Saga and started watching the beginning of the Frieza Saga because I want to rewatch Dragon Ball Z up till the end of the Cell Saga and stop because I can't stand the Majin Buu Saga.
You're wrong. Majin Buu has its moments. Here's the thing. It's so easy to watch Dragon Ball Z. It is. The episodes just melt away. Like all of a sudden you've been sitting there for 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes by quick. It does go by very... It's one of those animes that you just put on and start watching, and then all of a sudden you realize that you've watched 8 episodes, and you've been sitting there for 3 hours.
I watched 35 episodes in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I did over I think it was like 4 or 5 days.
I think I told Josh, I was like, the day we were supposed to, I hadn't finished, like the day before. I was like, I think I'm on like episode 25 or 15 or something, but I'm going to finish. And like, I think right after that, I just watched the whole thing through.
It is crazy good. That's still one of the highest ratings we've ever given because that's an S overall.
Yeah.
On the Saiyan Saga.
It's so good.
It is.
It really is.
It's not about changing your perception of writing or anything. It's like he said, it's perfect because it just does what it has to do. It's funny when it needs to be funny. There's tension when it needs to be tense. The fights are cool, and that's it. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's right. Yeah, no, there's no pretension to Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball is Dragon Ball. It's not pretending to be something that it's not.
It's not trying to be this well of depth. It is fun and it's engrossing. That's all we need.
And it's an adventure. That's what it is. And I liked one thing that in the fights, because it was the beginning of the fight with Nappa, I think it was. Gohan is trying to watch the fight. He's like, I can't see anything. And that moment kind of like made me realize that, hey, maybe them drawing it, like animating it the way they did was like the fights in Dragon Ball Z is kind of on purpose in a way.
Yeah, the fights are going super duper fast.
Yeah, and you can't keep up with it because you're just not that strong. And I was like, that's kind of smart.
Yeah, that's why the fight with Frieza lasts 30 episodes. In reality, it was just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I do continue watching Dragon Ball, I'm probably just...
You might have to... No, I won't.
I might skip parts of it. I'm not gonna skip the whole Frieza fight, but I am gonna skip a couple episodes.
Don't you dare!
There's episodes you can skip, like Bulma going crab fishing.
You guys stop it right now! Don't pull this Dragon Ball Z Kai crap on me. I watch every episode.
I think I'm already at when they first get onto Namek.
Yeah, I'm on the fake Namek.
I'm on the real Namek. Can we talk about Bulma being a slob?
So overall,
walking around in her panties.
Oh yeah, for Krillin, who's the same age as Goku, and then maybe.
Well, she did it for she did it while Goku was little, so why not do it?
Yeah, that's true. So overall, Saiyan Saga gets an S, which is definitely in the top five of things that we've reviewed.
Five anime.
Yeah, we won't be spinning the wheel this week. And Josh, why is that?
We'll actually be spinning the wheel tomorrow after our Dragon Ball trivia. We have our biggest trivia ever. The winner will be taking away the Dragon Ball crown, which is a fictional crown I just made up. But after we do that, we'll spin the wheel. And if you tune in tomorrow, you'll see Sai back. You'll see Raishan. You'll see whoever else shows up. It's going to be crazy. You won't see Justin, though.
I got to get some money to pay these people off so I can get the Dragon Ball Z crown.
Don't worry. Yeah. I'll be getting every question wrong because I've only watched... I've watched the least amount of Dragon Ball. I can safely say that.
Excellent. It's fine. I've watched probably the most, and I have trouble retaining.
All right, so Sai is declaring his victory.
Kyle from Dragon Ball Super Dope will be here, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, I don't retain information. So you'll probably win.
But stay tuned for that tomorrow. Josh, do you want to send out, or do you want me to
go ahead and send us out?
All right. So if you've made it, actually, before we do that, Sai, do you want to just tell everyone where you can find Dad's Anime Stash, because you're essentially just on our show now?
You can find it at Facebook.
I'm kidding. Promote your own show, man.
You can find my podcast, because yes, I stole it. It's no longer Ash's. I stole it today. It's mine. You can find it everywhere. You download podcasts. It's the Simping for Senpai podcast.
It's tomorrow at 10:30 Central. Are we doing it early again?
Let's say 10:30.
And 10:30 Central time.
I believe we just released an episode yesterday. Matter of fact, a brand new one.
Of your podcast that you own now.
Yeah. That you own, yeah. All right, you're on top of it already, I can tell, which is good.
I know.
So I approve that. But obviously, everyone, links will be in the description. But you've made it this far, so make sure that you leave a review, subscribe, tell all your friends about Dad's Anime Stash. And after you put that dusty box back under your parents' bed, make sure you tell all your friends about that secret tape that you watched of your dad's at 2 a.m. while your parents were gone. Tell them all about your dad's Anime Stash. Tune in tomorrow for the Dragon Ball Z quiz, and then tune in every Friday after that for other things. Find us on Facebook, Dad's Anime Stash. Pretty much just Google Dad's Anime Stash. You'll find all of our socials and stuff. And tomorrow, don't forget, tomorrow 10:30, we'll see you guys next time.
And don't forget to sprinkle the dust on it.